Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, General Manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light, J. Peter Lark. Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing real well, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, the last time I ran into you, it was a wedding, a very festive occasion for our friend Dave Tyler. And I saw him the other day, so he's off to a great start in matrimony. And so now we just want to be sure that his favorite football team wins a few games, and he'll be very happy.
Well, I think they have won a few football games, and I think Saturday they should win another.
Well, if he can finish it out and get a trip to the Rose Bowl, that would be a nice way to start married life for him. I know that. I want to talk a little bit about the Board of Water and Light and long-range plans and some very important renovations to Rio Town. Important not just for that area, but also for all the customers of the Board of Water and Light.
Absolutely, Jack. You're probably talking about our Rio Town cogeneration facility that
Absolutely.
We're getting ready to build.
Yeah,
we're very excited about it. It's going to be, I like to say that it's going to be great for the BWL, it's going to be great for the city, and it's going to be great for Rio Town. It really has a lot of advantages for everyone.
And whatever you try to do, you're going to have critics. You've been around long enough to know that. But this one, the critics are a little slow to get to the party. I think that they are looking at it and saying, okay, we can't complain about this. We can't complain about that. Some plans in place to make this about as green as it could be.
Yes, that's truly the case. You know, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to primarily we're replacing the plants that create steam for the city of Lansing.
Right.
And those are four steam units that are are near our Eckert plant, which is the downtown plant with three stacks.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that plant out of service and put this one in, the new one that we're contemplating, it saves, for example, 139,000 tons of coal each year. So I think all of your listeners have to agree that's a positive.
What's the future for coal plants, Peter?
You know, that's really hard to say. It's almost very, very difficult to speculate on that. I would say this. The coal plants that are presently in existence are probably going to continue to be in existence, although they're going to have to be tweaked by new EPA regulations and keep making them cleaner and cleaner.
Right.
But I think at least in the next 5 or 10 years, what you're probably going to see is a lot of retirement of coal plants and a lot of replacement with natural gas, and in the bigger cities with the bigger utilities, as we get going, probably replacement with nuclear. You know, but it's very hard to say, Jack. I've been in this business for quite a long time, and everything ebbs and flows.
Right.
You know, there was a day when nobody wanted to touch gas because there wasn't enough gas. Well, now there's a lot of gas.
Right.
You know, there was a time that coal was popular. I remember when nuclear, it's before my time, but when it was really popular, they used to say about nuclear, it's too cheap to meter. Then even nuclear went into a period where it wasn't, a period of disrepute. And it's coming back right now. So it's very difficult to say. But I think for coal to have a real future, it's going to have to be cleaned up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Environmentally, there have to be a few changes. Do you envision construction of any new coal plants in the state of Michigan?
I don't know. You know, Consumers Energy requested a permit from the DEQ, now the DNRE, and they obtained that permit. And then they had second thoughts about it, and I'm not privy to why. But they've decided, at least at this time, not to go forward with it. I don't know what their plans are, but there is a permit right there. And I've also heard that our governor-elect, Mr. Snyder, has talked about allowing things like the permitting of coal plants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what direction the, for instance, our governor will take, our new governor.
Right.
And then you got to take a look at the EPA. But I would say this. Consumers has one permitted, so that's a possibility. There were a couple of others that were requested to be built, and the DNRE did not approve those permits. Under our new governor, I don't know what to say. It's just too difficult to prognosticate.
I have to tell you, I was having lunch maybe about 6 weeks ago, and I heard a discussion about the Rio plant. And one guy was talking to his friend, and he said, "What's cogeneration?" And the other guy didn't want to look stupid, and he said, that, well, that means it's going to be there for more than one generation.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, and we certainly hope it will be there more than one generation, but that's really not what we mean by cogeneration. It's the simpler way to say is the co-word really just means two, And that's all it is. It does two things with one. So we're going to take natural gas, and we're not only going to use it to fire an electric generator, but the exhaust gases will produce steam. So we'll use that to provide heat and steam to the people, to many customers in the city of Lansing. So really what it is, it's a combined plant that will do two things, provide heat and electricity. That's all cogeneration means. And if you want to get really technical, it's really called the combined cycle cogeneration plant. Mm-hmm. And the combined cycle just means you can generate electricity twice. First, run the gas through a turbine. What comes out of that, and that turbine will be turning quickly, so that will create electricity. Then the exhaust from that turbine will generate steam, and we'll take that steam to either route it into the city to heat homes and businesses, or we'll take that steam and run it through another turbine to create electricity.
J. Peter Lark, General Manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light, our guest on Ebling and You. Peter, as you well know, the utility's roots go back to 1885, making this the 125th anniversary, and it's a municipal utility, meaning it's owned by the citizens of Lansing, Michigan. How unusual is that? Is that the norm for a lot of city utilities?
Well, I'll tell you, we have about municipal utilities. There are probably more of them than any other kind of utility in the United States. There are a little more than 2,000 of them. Hmm. Here in Michigan, we have about 40 or 41 municipal utilities. So it's the largest number of, it's the largest kind of utility we have in the state of Michigan. Now, it's not the largest utility. We're the third largest utility.
Okay.
They call the larger utilities investor-owned utilities, and our two large ones in the state of Michigan are, of course, Detroit Edison and Consumers Energy.
Right.
So they are much larger than we are. We're the largest muni and the third largest utility in the state of Michigan, and it's not uncommon at all. Many cities, as I say, 40 in the state of Michigan, also have municipal utilities.
You say the third largest. How many customers does the Board of Water and Light have?
Well, again, that's a little bit hard to say, too. We usually say we have 100,000 electric customers, which mm-hmm. is, in fact, the case.
Okay.
And then in water, we have another 50 or 60,000 customers.
Right.
Now, when I say it's hard to say, it's hard to say because we also sell power at wholesale and we sell water at wholesale.
Right.
So, for example, Delta Township receives our water, but they receive that at wholesale, and Delta Township does the billing. We don't count them in our 50 or 60,000 customers.
Okay.
The same with electric. When we have excess electricity on a given day, if it's not a real hot day and we have some electricity, we'll sell it into the MISO market, the Midwest Independent Market that buys and sells power in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll sell to a lot of those customers. But as far as our own customers, we have, as I say, about 150 or 160,000 electric and water customers, a much smaller number of chilled water and steam customers, but we have a few of those as well.
Peter, before we let you go, I'd be remiss if we did not talk about a very important event coming to Lansing on Friday, November 19th, and Silver Bells in the City has become an institution with the help of folks at IBW and certainly the Lansing Board of Water and Light. This has become an event that a lot of people look forward to. What's different about this year's show?
Well, you know what? To tell you the truth, Jack, I'm not exactly sure. I could tell you this. It's going to be a great show, though.
Yeah.
And I haven't monitored it to know exactly what's going to be different. But
right.
As usual, we're going to be lighting the tree. First, we light the tree at the Board of Water and Light as far as we hang all the lights.
Right.
And the mayor or I will be turning the tree on I don't know what time it is exactly, but it'll go on as it usually does. But as a guy who didn't go to the Silver Bells in the City too often before I became part of the Board of Water and Light, I've got to say the event is a tremendous family event, and the turnout is just breathtaking.
Yeah, when you see 125,000 people in downtown Lansing, it's really amazing. A celebration, and we don't see that often, but it has really exposed the city of Lansing to people in a way that maybe they had not seen it before. They worked somewhere else and never really got downtown.
Well, the city of Lansing, as you know, Jack, and probably know at least, is a heck of a lot different these last few years than it was even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You go downtown now at night, and it is not the place that it used to be where there weren't people there. This is just one more of many, many events the city of Lansing participates in and others. And the number of people on the streets in Lansing at night is really, it's very surprising, and it's great to watch and witness.
Yeah, a lot more energy supplied by the Board of Water and Light to downtown Lansing. I can tell you when I first noticed the difference, Peter. I used to fly in at night from other airports, and, you know, you'd see the lights and you see a little nice, you know, cluster downtown, and that was about it. Now, you can see it from a long ways away as you're approaching. You say, what city is this?
It really is. For those of your listeners who don't get downtown too often, and, you know, 10 years ago, who would go downtown?
Right.
But now I find myself, due to my job, downtown quite a lot. And if I'm downtown at 8, 9, 10, or 11 o'clock at night along Michigan Avenue or Washington Square,
yeah,
it's absolutely 180 degrees different than it was 5 or 10 years ago. The city has really, really picked up.
Peter, great talking with you as always, and we'll see you at Silver Bells in the City.
Look forward to it, Jack. Thank you for the show. Appreciate being on.
And J. Peter Larick, General Manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light. We'll be right back with more Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.